Next item on the agenda is number 11, Mike Reason, owner of Driftwood Corporation, requests for reconsideration of commission action to assess a civil charge of $1,800 related to his role as project contractor for Guilford Heights Association, number 10-0816, involving the unauthorized construction of 186 linear foot concrete block retaining wall bulkhead structure at the association's property situated along the James River and Surrey County that received after-the-fact approval at the August 24, 2010 meeting. Mr. Holland, for the record, I will be recusing myself from this matter as I recused myself from the initial consideration of this project.
Okay. Go ahead.
Again, this is a project that was heard at the August meeting. Plumley, I don't believe you were here.
I wasn't here either.
Okay. And this one is, I'm really not going back through the whole project because we heard the project. The project was approved after the fact. The commission action was to allow retention of this. This is another one of the concrete block walls. It was contingent on a civil charge to the applicant, which was Guilford Heights Association, of $1,800, as well as an $1,800 civil charge to the contractor, Driftwood Corporation, who is Mr. Mike Reason. Mr. Reason was not here and therefore could not agree or disagree with the civil charge. Once we contacted him, he had some concerns about that and wished to be heard before the commission to address you. I don't think I really need to go into real detail. Just to refresh your memory, this is again in Surrey County. It did require a beaches and dunes permit. It's close to the same location as Mr. Winfrey's, but not quite. This is Guilford Heights Association property. This is the beach area. There were two lots involved. These are the structures. Again, a block wall. These were constructed slightly different than the Winfrey in that they had these perpendicular sections in here. This was already existing, these gabion baskets, and the wall was put behind those, so this was not jurisdictional, this part, only this part. We believe that this wall might survive better because it did have a perpendicular tie front instead of tie back system, if you want to call it that. And there was a lot of discussion, but in the end, it was approved. The association agreed to the $1,800. The permit has been issued to the association. They paid the permit fee, they paid the civil charge. Mr. Reason contacted us and his counsel and wished to be afforded the opportunity to speak to the commission related to his involvement and the appropriateness of the civil charge.
So the only matter before the commission today is the $1,800 civil charge.
Right.
Okay.
And if you have any questions before they speak, I'll try to answer them.
Any questions at this time by any commission member?
Kind of a synopsis of how we got to where we are.
The charge has been paid. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The charge has been paid
by the association.
By the association.
Two civil charges, one okay. to the association and one to the contractor.
All right. The contractor is present to contest that.
Yes. He was not here the day of the original decision.
The applicant, Mr. Reason.
Yes, sir. Wallace Brittle, Mr. Reason. Good morning, Commissioners. How are you?
I'm sorry, you're?
Wallace Brittle, B-R-I-T-T-L-E.
Okay.
Attorney for Mr. Reason. He's okay. Here to answer any other questions.
That's fine, so go ahead, sir.
I don't want the commission to think that Mr. Reason's hired me to come here and nickel and dime $1,800. As we all know, it's probably a lost cause, but it has been a learning experience for me. A couple of points that we just wanted to bring up. The first being, we are here to contest the charge, to use the proper terminology, but the reason's more here because he didn't realize how important his appearance was last time. And when he wasn't here, it was communicated by Mr. Stagg to me that the commission would really have liked to have him here to clarify some issues, and he didn't understand that. I'm fairly sure that he didn't understand that when he got the letter that notified him of the hearing that said it was just for approval of or disapproval of a permit. It didn't say anything about getting into anybody's billfold. I think that he would have been here to represent himself. Just to remind the commission, upon the recommendation of Mr. Stagg, who, by the way, has been great to work with, I've really actually enjoyed this case. you found him minimal environmental noncompliance, and I know I'm not using the right words, Mr. Stang, but you found him as a major noncompliant in his compliance with the with the statutory code. And that's what I want to address. And basically, the theme of my argument will be Mr. Reason's subjective perception of the status of the permitting process. And then I'm going to argue also his objective perception of the permitting process. You're going to be welcome to ask him anything you want. I'm going to be quick because you've already counseled Mr. Stagg, and now I'm getting into his time. There was one statement that I listened to the audio, and that was very helpful, and then I read the minutes, and one statement that was made by Mr. Reason, I want to give you the theme of the statement, was that after the fact, in July, I think it was July 23rd, he met with Mr. Stagg, my client, Mr. Reason, met with Mr. Stagg, and Mr. Reason made the statement, I'm not saying he made the statement, this is the way it was portrayed to you folks, and I'm going to have him explain that, but I want to make the point now so that you can understand when I'm going forward how it really doesn't fit. Mr. Reason said, if I didn't do the project, somebody else would do the project. Economic times are tough, and I needed to keep my crew working. I think that's a fair assessment of what this commission heard in the August meeting. I can't explain that. I wasn't there, and I can't get into his subjective mind, but that was part of what the commission focused on, was that Mr. Reason, it seemed to me from the comments, and they're somewhat limited, but that it was noted that he was as culpable as Mr. Baker, who was the owner. He clearly knew that a permit was needed. There was a mention of the public being sold a bill of goods, which is another reason we're here, to show that Mr. Reason doesn't go around hawking these concrete blocks. He was and acting as an engineer when he's not. And then the final point being that he obviously knew that a permit was necessary, but did not tell Mr. Baker. And these are all not necessarily 100% accurate. I think that there was a meeting prior to any construction wherein, and Mr. Stagg alluded to this in his August comments to the commission, that there was some confusion at some points whether a permit was going to be necessary or not. And these were in meetings with Mr. Reason, right down here at the shorefront, the way I understand it. And Mr. Reason will probably testify, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but he'll probably testify that it was said that a permit may not be necessary. There were some statutory changes in 2008 that kind of muddied the water a little bit. Mr. Stagg's more of an expert on that than I am, and I'm sure he'll clarify that and have the opportunity. So Mr. Reason's objective and subjective perception at that point was, well, maybe we need a permit, maybe we don't. Mr. Baker, on direct questioning from the commission, skirted is the wrong word to use, but evaded a question that seemed to be very pertinent in this, and I'm not sure who asked it, but the question was, did you tell Mr. Reason that you were going to go forward if he didn't do the project because there was no permit? And there was no clear answer to that. I'm going to have Mr. Reason testify as to what the truth is about that, but I think it's a relevant point because if Mr. Reason had known that a permit was necessary, he would have never fired up the first piece of heavy equipment. He'll tell you that today. He knows that now. I think Mr. Schick might have asked last time, does he now know that he's not to construct these things without a permit? And I can promise you he does, Mr. Schick. And to have a permit means to have it in your hand. There's going to be testimony from Mr. Reason, and I've gone over this with Mr. Stagg, that the Surrey County Environmental Compliance Official, Ms. Blunt, told him on two occasions, he called beforehand, he says, are we good? Do we need anything? As the compliance official, I guess he could have relied on Mr. Baker, but he took it a step further. He called the compliance agency, said, are we good? Do we need anything at all? She says, as far as I know, we're good. He got the blocks loaded. He's ready to transport them. He calls her again. Are you sure everything's fine? Everything's fine. Now, I can't subpoena her here today. If it has to go any further, I guess I get there'll be subpoena powers. But the testimony would be his subjective perception at that point was the County of Surrey says everything's good. There was a letter written on December 15th. From Mr. Baker to Mr. Stagg, asking him, Mr. Baker, the owner, to Mr. Stagg, your representative, asking him to please write a letter to Surrey County telling them that nothing is necessary. This is all outside the purview of Mr. Reason. December 17th, promptly Mr. Stagg gets back and says, I think there might be jurisdictional issues. Don't go forward with the project. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. It was a lot, the phraseology was much more professional than that. Don't go forward with the project. Again, Mr. Reason doesn't know anything about this letter. Mr. Reason, I got his calendar out this morning in his truck. November 30th, he started this project at Mr. Baker's request. November 30th, he started this project with the full consent of Angela Blunt, the compliance manager in Surrey County. His subjective intent was, we're good to go. Everything's fine. Let's put in the project. No permit necessary. If there is a permit necessary, everything's been dealt out. This is what you're going to hear from him today. And the only point of all this is the language that was used by the commission that he clearly knew, that he obviously knew, but did not tell Baker that a permit was necessary. It was a flip-flop in that. Although Mr. Reason initially took on the responsibility of getting the permit, when he found out how much was going to be involved in it, he hadn't billed for it. It's not his forte. He can look at a piece of land and tell you inches to whether it's level, but paperwork and things like that is not what he chooses to do with his life. He gave it back to Mr. Baker. He went so far as to contact two engineering firms that would have gone through the permitting process. Mr. Baker alluded to this in his testimony last time. He said, but they wanted $5,000. And we just weren't going to pay that, so Mr. Baker said he took it on. Mr. Reason will tell you, I told him to take it on. If you won't hire these people, it's your baby. Let me know when y'all are straight. There was a meeting at the property with Mrs. Blunt, Mr. Baker, the other property owner who hasn't been mentioned very much on this property, and Mr. Reason. Ms. Blunt was telling Mr. Baker what he needed to do, what permitting processes he needed to go through. He pounded his fist on the table. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. She went through it again. I'm not going to do it. Finally, she said, okay, you don't have to do it. Mr. Reason had another meeting to go to. He's going to tell you all of this if he chooses to and if you question him about it. All of these things over and over and over again about not needing a permit, not needing a permit. So I don't think that he clearly knew. And all of this goes to the major noncompliance. That's, as the commission knows, that's where I'm going with this. It also goes to the fact that we all have to work together. Mr. Reason's going to keep doing property down in Surrey County for the rest of his life. So it's important for him to come before you so that you don't think he's a ne'er-do-well contractor who's always trying to skirt the regulations. It's important that he come before you so you can see him because it was obviously a mistake on whether he should have been here last time. He's here to answer any questions you have today. And third, to educate him on what is necessary. If the commission votes that he should have had a permit, read it, had a compliance officer to review it, sent it to me, I said okay. But the slippery slope backs up to he made two phone calls to Surrey County and they said go ahead. Subjectively, he thought that he had done what he needed to do under 28.2. That if a permit was necessary, it had been gotten, and if it was not necessary, then he moved forward and did the job in a very workmanlike manner. It was approved after the fact. It's not perfect according to what VIMS would like because of the composition of these blocks, but It's working. Mr. Baker testifies it's working. Mr. Stagg testifies it's working. I talked about Mr. Reeson beginning on November 30th, the December 15th letter from Baker to Mr. Stagg, Mr. Stagg's response back to on December 17th. Mike was not, Mr. Reeson, excuse me, was not told to stop on December 17th, 18th, 19th, whenever Mr. Baker got that letter. He was not told. He went on. They finished the project December 31st. He could have stopped it then, asked Mr. Stagg to come out there and, let me use a country term, not gotten so crossways with the commission. And he was never involved in the necessary conversations to allow him to be a major non-compliant actor under the penalty structure or the civil charge structure that you guys have adopted. I don't have any further comments. I'll be glad to answer questions. I want Mr. Reeson to be here to answer your questions, but I may assist him if that.
That's fine. Mr. Shick?
Yeah, do you have a copy of any correspondence with the county, a building permit or anything approving this project?
Approving it? No, sir.
So?
I'm not even sure that that's there now.
And there, so there's nothing, there was no permit necessary or no building permit that was required by the county?
I don't have a, maybe Mr. Reeson's okay. The one to ask that.
Well, but, Mr. Reeson, excuse me just a second. Will you come up with your legal counsel and then we can ask both of you questions at the same time?
Let me add one thing, if you because it's important to what you're asking, Mr. Shing. December 31st, the project was over. The 17th of December, Mr. Stagg sent the letter back to Mr. Baker. There may be problems. Don't do anything. No, but, my client wasn't notified of that letter. But a letter was sent by Mr. Stagg to the county telling them that there's probably a problem. April of that year, the county contacts Mr. Stagg and says, I think we've got a problem. There might be some jurisdictional issues. This is the same county that told Mr. Reeson verbally, go ahead, we're not going to hold you up on this project. I might add one more thing. He sought pre-approval, and then right after he was finished, he called Ms. Blunt, Ms. Blunt, and told Ms. Blunt, I'm done. Come out here and take a look at it and make sure it's okay. And she did. And then April, she wrote a letter to Mr. Stagg saying we have a problem. That letter was propagated because of other problems that have been in front of this commission just up the beach.
So somebody from the county came out, inspected the project after it was completed, and at that time there was no question of any jurisdictional issues?
That we knew of. And then 4 months later, they wrote a letter saying, I think we might have jurisdictional issues. And that's after the property up the way was...
At this time, Mr. Reeson, would you swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I'm sorry. I don't hear very well.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Would you state your name?
Mike Reeson.
Okay. Did you have any comments that you'd like to make at the time?
Yeah, I'm going to try to make this as brief as I can and be glad to answer a question. And there was a question a minute ago about the permit. It was a WQIA minor water quality assessment that was required by the county. My understanding was they did that. That was all. I know they surveyed it and did that, and so my understanding that was in place. To start with, Mr. Baker approached me to do this project. I told him we had to have all the permits in place. I did not know what was required as far as the permit, you know, whether it was Army Corps or VMRC, or who actually was going to permit whatever. But we had to have all that in place before I was going to start. I'm not here to drag Mr. Baker under the bus, okay? So, but he was very adamant about we want to get started. I said, I'm not going to do it. So I contacted Rhonda Mack, which is the planning director in charge of Surrey County as far as all this stuff concerned. And I've got the emails in here where I contacted her, the dates, so forth, and asked her what we needed. And she said then that we needed to do the joint application permit, okay? Initially, that's what she said. So I downloaded the permit. I started the process. We were going to do the whole, I think it's 3,000 feet of beach to try to permit the whole process. So then if individual landowners wanted to do something, they could. And so we started that process, and I'm not a paperwork person. I don't like to do it. But anyway, so I got into it, and it was 1,000 questions. I didn't know, you know, the length and where the property lines were, and it all needed to be surveyed, and it was a can of worms. So I suggested that we get somebody else to do it. So I contacted two companies, and I've got both of those proposals in here to do the permitting process. And when I gave them to him, he said, I'm not going to pay that, you know. And so I says, well, you're going to have to do it. I'm not going to do it because you're not going to, you know, he wasn't going to pay me to do it. So I says, you're going to have to do it. And he said, I'm taking full responsibility. I said, I can't help that. I got to deal with these people, you know, again and again. And I can't do these projects without permitting. And so then he took it upon himself to do that. I was in a couple of meetings to drop back maybe, this was afterwards. At some point in time, we met with Mr. Stagg down there. My understanding was that we weren't going to need a permit from VMRC, that we only needed county permitting. That was my understanding. That was probably wrong, but anyway. And that was also Mr. Baker's understanding. And, of course, that was what he wanted to hear also, okay? So then after that, we had several meetings with the county officials, with the planning director and the compliance officer. And they said that, I really don't know exactly, they were trying to get by with an emergency, some sort of emergency thing. And I want to say it was DCR, it may have been DEQ, I'm not real certain about that. But they couldn't do it because it was Chesapeake Bay deal. Okay, they couldn't do an emergency deal. So they had to do a minor water quality study on these two lots to get that approved. So my understanding, I did not see the paperwork, but my understanding was they got that process. Bill Baker told me sometime, I want to say in October of that year of 09, I guess it was now, everything was straight. I didn't take his word for it. I called Angela Blunt, which is the compliance officer of Surrey County. I said, Angela, is everything straight? She said, as far as I know. I said, can I go ahead and start work? She said, go ahead. Okay. So I started work. I told her anytime she wanted to come down there and take pictures or whatever. In fact, I took pictures of everything I did on that job. And it's on my website if anybody cares to look at it, the construction portion of it. But after I finished, I contacted Angela again. I said, Angela, I'm done. I still got the equipment here. So if anything is not right, I always do that. I don't never leave until everybody's satisfied, because I don't want to have to start another job and then bring my equipment back in there. It just costs me more money. So I called Angela. I said, Angela, come check it. She said, I'll check it. She said, I know it's fine, but I'll check it. So I didn't actually see her down there, because I told her when I was going to move the equipment out, and she said that was fine. She'd check it. And so my understanding was everything was done, was fine, until April, I think it was, when I found out that it wasn't fine. And I was confused. And I should have been here before the commission, but the only way I know how to tell it is to tell it what happened. And I have to see Mr. Baker, not hopefully not very often, but fairly often. And you know, you don't want to drag somebody under the bus if you don't have to. And I didn't think that it was any issue at all for me, because I had done everything I knew to do. I mean, y'all gonna have to tell me what I did wrong, because I don't know what it is. I mean, I really don't. And it wasn't so much the $1,800, even though I can't really afford that, but it was admitting that I had done something wrong. And I don't know what I'd done wrong. I really don't. I think y'all got some misunderstanding, because I wasn't here to explain myself or what was said or what was done. And, you know, I think that was, you know, in y'all's defense, it was just a misunderstanding. Y'all didn't have good information. And if you don't have good information, you can't make good decisions. So I apologize for not being here, but the reason that I was not here was I didn't want to say he said that, or he said this, or he said such and such, and transfer the blame to somebody else. I just didn't want to do that. So have y'all got any questions?
Yeah. In your contract with the association or Mr. Baker, did they did you have somewhere in the contract to do this job saying that they were responsible for getting the permits?
No, but I do now.
Yeah, okay. And so the only permit that was necessary was this water, a minor water quality impact study for the Chesapeake Bay.
To my knowledge.
Right.
To my knowledge.
That's your knowledge. And so you never really talked to somebody from DCR or from the DEQ?
No.
Yourself?
No.
Okay.
I've got some email correspondence where Rhonda Mack was talking to some lady with one of the agencies.
And who did the minor water quality impact study? You didn't do that yourself?
No. So, I don't know who did it.
Okay.
I don't know who did it.
Have a question?
Yes, I do. In fact, maybe this is best for our council. I have not heard any sort of reference to a legal any type of citation about improper notice of the previous hearing with regards to this gentleman's rights in terms of appearing or not appearing. And I didn't know if there was a procedure that we would have to waive to allow him to come and testify at a time when we don't have the other witnesses available to corroborate or oppose the statements that he's making in terms of what occurred. He said the reason he didn't appear was because he did not want to accuse the other persons of not complying with the law or perhaps presenting false information. But that's sort of the purpose of having the hearing with everybody at the same place and same time, so you can compare those stories and ask questions of the other witnesses who are not now available to answer for themselves. And I didn't know if we were proceeding because there was some defect in the process of the previous hearing with regards to the citation. And I'm not clear on that.
I don't think there was any defect with regard to the prior proceeding. And at that proceeding, it was my understanding that Mr. Reason had received proper notice of the hearing and chose not to come. It was also my understanding that he had agreed to the civil charge. Apparently, that was not the case at that time either. I don't think that the decision today impacts any of the other parties to this case. They were assessed a civil charge separately, so I think the commission's had an opportunity to hear their testimony and also an opportunity to hear Mr. Reason's testimony and can apply weight to the testimony separately.
Is there anything that we have to waive with regards to it? You know, he's coming back for a second process that he was afforded at the beginning. He didn't appear because of his own decision not to appear with the other witnesses who could accuse him of the things that he's saying that caused him to go wrong. And I'm not saying anything he said is untrue, but we don't have those other witnesses. So I didn't know if this was a process that's common to the commission that I'm unaware of, and I didn't know if there was a site maybe counsel for the applicant had with regards to defective notice or anything of that nature.
No site, Commissioner Plumlee, but what I can show you is the letter that Mr. Reason was copied on. That was to be a hearing, the August meeting, August 24th or 6th meeting, that said for reconsideration of a permit after, or consideration of a permit after the fact. Not when I was at DEQ, that letter would have gone on to say and assess civil charges or civil. Not assess, I guess, agree to civil charges against both the landowner and the contractor. Then he would have been on notice that the civil charge matrix was at play, and maybe he would have called me and I would have said, we're going to go, you know, drop everything we're doing. But I wasn't going to bring up any. My goal today is not to say that VMRC did anything wrong. And so I didn't bring up anything like that. But if I need to, then I guess I would.
Well, my problem with the situation is that when we have the witnesses there to discuss these issues, he's not present because he doesn't want to be, and he, in his own words, saying somebody did something wrong in their presence. And I can appreciate that. But at the same time, then we lose the opportunity to hear the two versions and to ask questions based on what the information that's presented at the time.
Mr. Baker's testimony is quite extensive, and he was questioned by the commission from last time. And I guess it does put us in a little bit of a superior position to be able to read that and then come in with our story constructed. But that's really not what's happened. Mr. Reason, yes.
Well, let me say one thing. The letters that I got it wasn't to me. I say it wasn't to me. First of all, I wasn't directed to be here. I didn't think I was, anyhow. Evidently I was, but that wasn't my thought process at the time, that I should be here. Mr. Baker had said 100 times that he had taken full responsibility for everything. Well, if somebody's taking full responsibility for everything, why did I need to be here? I don't know what I was doing that day, but I'm sure I was working somewhere. But, you know, I didn't really have time to come here to hear what is going to happen between you and somebody else out here. You know, I had really no interest in that. So that was why I wasn't here. And he was taking full responsibility. What was my purpose of being here? I had already done everything I knew I could possibly do to make sure that he had the proper permits. And right now I still don't know what else, y'all gonna have to tell me, what else I should have done. I have no idea. And I had no idea that it was going to be any civil charges towards me, none whatsoever, because I honestly hadn't felt like that I had done anything wrong. So,
Mr. Schick, I guess the difference is, and kind of to go on what you were saying here, is Mr. Baker has alluded that you knew that a permit was necessary,
sure,
and that you were going to do the job because somebody else was going to do it anyway. And what you're saying is you had no idea that any additional permits were needed, and that you were just doing the job that you were requested to do.
No, that statement about that somebody else was going to do it, that was a miscommunication. Okay. I don't remember what I said exactly. My memory is not as well as it should be, but that was not my intent. Okay, my intent was to get the permit. I have proof right here.
You were pursuing
letters, everything that I could possibly do. Rhonda Mack knows it. Angela Blunt knows it. I had done everything I could do, and went before I actually did the work. I called Angela Blunt. She told me the other day. She's Mike. You called me. I know all about it, you know. And you know, what else?
Now you know what you need to do as far as if you're going to work on a dune situation. Since the county doesn't have a board, you need to come to VMRC.
Right.
And that's basically.
I understand that. It's been a very.
Any other questions? Excuse me. Go ahead.
I'm going to add one more thing to what I said earlier. I don't think the commission is waiving anything. I think while this process seems a bit unusual, the statute 28.2.12.13 does not require a hearing at all for the imposition assessment of a civil charge. It is assessed with the consent of the person to whom it's assessed, but it's also in lieu of a civil penalty that may be imposed in a separate enforcement matter. So,
I didn't hear everything you said. I'm sorry. I don't need to hear it. I don't guess. But
I was responding to Mr. Plumlee's question earlier, and my main comment was I don't think the commission is waiving anything by proceeding in this manner.
Okay.
While this process seems a bit unusual, the statute does not require a hearing at all. So the fact that it's been heard on two separate occasions doesn't impact the ultimate result.
Mr. Robbins.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just one point to this testimony about the private property owner accepting responsibility. Those words may have been expressed both at the last meeting and prior to that meeting by the property owner, but a property owner making that statement doesn't absolve a contractor who's actually doing the work in a jurisdictional area from responsibility under the law. I mean, I think that's part of the issue here. But I wanted to ask, there was a letter that was sent from staff.
Is that a state or a federal thing? Because in countywide, the property owner is responsible for everything. I mean, that's what they told me in the county.
The contractors are not immune from responsibilities if they're operating without a permit on jurisdictional bottom. But I want to ask a question about this letter that was sent from commission staff to Mr. Baker, and there's already been discussion about this in December of 2009 that indicated that there were jurisdictional issues associated with part of the project. So the timeline indicates that the project was completed on December 31st. What did Mr. Baker say upon receiving that letter? Did he tell you to go ahead and finish the work?
I didn't know they even had a letter. I mean, they told me. I started, and I've got that down here too, November the 30th, started the project, started moving the equipment and the materials and equipment in, and I wasn't actually doing the beach part of it, but I was moving equipment in the staging area. And at some point in time, and I've got it in my little diary, daily diary, when I actually started doing the actual work. But they never said anything. Nobody ever said anything to me about it at all. I was just, you know, to go ahead, just.
So Mr. Baker never said a word about receiving a letter from the state?
Well, not to me. I mean, he may have gotten it, I'm sure, but I don't know anything about it.
Mr. Tankard?
You're going to have to help me a little bit. I'm confused. You do this work on a normal basis, correct?
Well, not very often. Maybe once, twice a year sometimes, if I'm lucky. I mean, you know, if I'm...
In your testimony here today, you said two things. One, you said we'll need all the permits. And then again, you said you can't do this project without permitting. Did you all the time believe there was no VMRC interaction in that permitting?
Well, according to Mr. Stagg, I believe that we didn't need any permit from VMRC. That was my intention, but... I still had said that we needed to, whatever permits that were required. I did not know what permits were required. That's why I contacted Rhonda Mack initially, because I did not know. And that's when she said to do the joint permit application, which goes to everybody. And then, of course, you know, we started that process, and then Bill Baker said, you know, wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to pay for it. I don't recall him saying he wasn't going to do it. He just wasn't going to pay whatever the cost was involved. And so I said, well, you know, y'all do whatever you want to. When you get everything straight, let me know, and I'll go to work. So they had several more meetings with the county, because at that time I thought VMRC was out of the picture. I mean, that's what I thought, okay? And so we went on with the process dealing with the county, whatever they had to do, okay? I don't know all the particulars, but I do know they had to do the minor water quality study. I remember because I was at that particular meeting, and I didn't go to any more meetings after that particular meeting. So,
are there any more questions from the commission? Matters before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question for staff. We could hear from Ben. We've heard from the contractor. Ben, can you run us back through the meeting that you had there on site, and then the subsequent written correspondence?
I think I can clarify a couple things, and maybe it will help you put this to rest. I did meet on site considerably before any of this process, a year or more before, with Mr. Reason and Mr. Baker. At that time, and you have to remember the law changed, the Beaches and Dunes Act was not in effect for Surrey County until July of 2008. So prior to that, this work probably might still require a wetlands permit, but what was being described at that time of what they wanted to do was something right at the toe of the slope, the existing slope there. It's a beach. It's not vegetated. So the Wetlands Board's jurisdiction at that time was mean high water, which these blocks are landward of. And I did tell them at that time that if the project stayed at that location, that I didn't think it would require a wetlands permit, and it certainly wouldn't require a permit from us. The law changed. That's one of the issues. The second is, this is not the design that we talked about at the time. It was this type of structure, right, with this alignment. So those are the issues related to the jurisdiction from the initial meetings before we really got into this, in the 2009 time frame, where Mr. Baker was working towards trying to get a project actually approved. My understanding that through conversations with the county, Mr. Baker, representing Guilford Heights Association, was told that at a minimum this project was going to require a water quality impact assessment under the Chesapeake Bay Act, which he presented to the county. And that was heard, I think, in November. I actually have a copy of their staff recommendation for that meeting. That was November the 17th, which may be the meeting Mr. Reeson was at. And this is what resulted in the letter that got sent to me. My understanding was the project was approved under the Bay Act, under the water quality assessment for what's being proposed, what's here, with a bunch of bullets, one, the last of which was that Surrey County staff recommends that the applicant coordinate with VMRC to make sure that no other permits are required. Which I believe resulted in Mr. Baker writing me a letter in December 15th because of this bullet, that the approvals were in place from the county contingent on one final thing, that he contact VMRC to make sure there were no jurisdictional issues. I responded to that letter. At that time, I didn't have any idea construction was already started. I thought they were still going through this process with the county. I responded 2 days later that based on this whole water quality, that's what he sent me, was he sent me the whole application that he presented to the county, which was the water quality impact assessment, which unfortunately had this system. It also had a previous plan to just do the work right at the toe. It was kind of a mishmash of a bunch of stuff, so I had to kind of pick through it, try to figure out what it was they were really proposing to do. But when I saw these block systems, I felt that they definitely probably were going to be jurisdictional. So I wrote back to Mr. Baker only and the county. I didn't know Mr. Reeson was even involved at that time with building the project. I certainly didn't know it was under construction. I thought we were still working on getting the approval from the county and any approval. So I don't think Mr. Reeson ever saw that letter. I didn't send him the letter. I didn't know he was the contractor at the time. I didn't know anything was even going on the site other than an application. And I don't know what transpired between my letter in April with the county, but the county contacted me at some point and said, this thing is built. That's the first I knew that. I just was waiting to hear back from Mr. Baker from the letter I sent him telling him he should submit a JPA because I believe that portions of it might be jurisdictional. I rewrote Mr. Baker in April after meeting with the county and said, pursuant to my December 17th letter, here's what I told you you needed to do. Apparently, you didn't do it because now that it's built. Well, of course, he submitted an after-fact application. At that point, he listed Mr. Reeson as the contractor in the JPA. So that's where we are. And I did reiterate at the August meeting that there was definitely some confusion with this project about jurisdiction from 2 years ago up through summer. And I have no reason to believe Mr. Reeson's scenario is correct. I dealt with Mr. Baker because he was the applicant. I didn't even really know Mr. Reeson was involved until spring of this year when the project was submitted for after-the-fact approval.
Mr. Tanker?
Follow-up question. So after that meeting in which Mr. Reeson was there, would you suspect now that when he says in testimony today he came to understand that the county there was a county permit only necessary, would that be a reasonable conclusion after that meeting?
I think you possibly could have assumed that based on the type of construction we were talking about at the time.
Any other questions? Mr. Plumlee?
Well, I don't think I have any questions. I just have a comment to make if we're going to make a decision.
Go ahead. We're going
ready to move
just
forward.
Just before the commission there. So.
Okay. Being a little new to the process, I'll throw this out on the table. We had a hearing. We had folks appear who were put on notice of it. There's a lot of testimony by this gentleman, and I'm sure he's attempting to be as truthful and honest as he can be on this issue, that he did not want to come to that meeting because he did not want to make statements that may be at odds with or the thoughts of the folks attending that meeting. At that meeting, we assess civil charges, and I think it's a, I guess what troubles me is if we have these abilities to reconsider those civil charges at a later time without the others present to confer or to oppose the statements made, that this is going to be sort of this endless procedure or kind of a process where, okay, you folks go on this day, and I'm going to go back if there's any civil charge against me, and I'm going to oppose it, and you all won't have to be there, and I can say everything's just dandy, and you won't be around to be questioned. So that is one concern I have with this reconsideration. It's sort of like, you know, if I keep my blinders on, I don't see anything going on here, then I'm going to be okay. And it may be true that this is a new law, and this gentleman was not apprised of it, and those mistakes certainly happen. So I'll just put that forward, and I'm more than happy to go along with what the board decides.
Mr. Schick?
I'd like to propose a motion that we reduce the fine to a minimal minor category of $600. It's evident that the contractor attempted to find out what was going on. There was some confusion about it. Evidently, the county, although had that bullet, the VMRC needed to be contacted. That was never portrayed to the contractor, and he didn't do the water quality impact study. He didn't do any of the other permitting work. So it's evident that the owner was in charge of that section of it, but. That doesn't absolve him of the fact that he still should have called Army Corps of Engineers, VMRC, on his own to check those things out like he called the county. So that's why I'd like to reduce that to a $600 charge.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second? Mr. Tankard?
I'll second it.
Okay. Would you agree to the minor?
Well, it's not the money so much as it. I just don't know what I should have done differently. Maybe y'all can tell me what I should have done that I didn't do, that I did not think it was my responsibility to contact anybody other than who I did. I mean, that was my intention.
When you're working this close, I think it's, as a contractor, it should be your responsibility to do, as Mr. Schick said, contact the Corps and contact VMRC just like you did the county. And is everything okay for me to go? So I think that's where this commission's coming from. You didn't make that effort, so.
Right.
Okay, you've heard the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstain, unanimous. Thank you all.